Bitches, and welcome back. I'm your host, Cardzi B. As some of you may already know, I'm a tarot reader and fashion industry survivor based in New York City. I actually discovered tarot around age 11 and eventually traded it in for Spice Girl CDs and platforms in middle school. Luckily, I picked it back up as a healing modality after a severe millennial meltdown the past couple of years. Saturn return back to back with Saturn in my sun sign was no effing joke. And during that time, I actually started illustrating my own deck to connect with the cards more deeply and also create a deck that was a good intro for people. So all of my my 78 cards are badass bitches and empowered women of pop culture. So this deck will actually be out this October. Stay tuned for launch events and giveaways. I also quickly wanted to say thank you for all of the incredible notes and reviews. If you have a chance and enjoyed the podcast, please take a minute to rate and review it because it causes more people to see it. From the notes I've received, it sounds like you guys really liked hearing from the Wonderlust girls last week, so I'm sure you're going to love this week's guest as well. Before we bring her on, let's just celebrate the fact that the eclipses are over. We survived. This also means that we're halfway through the month of August, brought to us by the letter J, aka the Justice card, starring Ruth Bader Ginsburg, finding what is true and right for ourselves and releasing anything that doesn't serve us, and the Five of Pentacles, which really encourages us to shift attention from what may be lacking to seeing the support that you have around you. For more in-depth info on these cards and how they relate to the month of August, you can go back to episode 2 of this podcast. Okay, it's time for the card of the week. I think I finally got the shuffle down, you guys. There's a whole, like, little makeup towel that I'm now shuffling on instead of my glass table. All right. I hope this is at a proper volume, finally. Let's see. Okay. Ooh, the Four of Wands. Okay, I really like this card. Traditionally, this card shows a couple dancing into a canopy created by four large wands that are standing up vertically. It kind of looks like a wedding canopy or a huppah with various attendees kind of partying it up in the background. This card represents a time of celebration and fulfillment. It can be a wedding. It can just be a celebration of a really positive event. Fours are foundation cards, so the Four of Wands is really about setting a harmonious foundation. And that's, you know, you're often celebrating that with your core peeps. In my deck, this card is Sarah Jessica Parker rocking her Carrie Bradshaw tutu with four wands creating a canopy into the Manhattan skyline. I feel like her Sex and the City character really demonstrated the essence of this card, of just, you know, setting up that foundation for the life she dreamed of with the help of some pretty badass bitches by her side. So this card is super applicable this week, especially exiting the last eclipse and final eclipse of the season and celebrating the new moon in Leo. This week is the perfect time to channel your inner Carrie Bradshaw and set the foundation for your dream life to roll in. On that note, it's time to introduce this week's guest, Deborah Antich of the Traveling Psychic Supper Club. Deborah's a clairvoyant channel, intuitive counselor, alchemy crystal bowls conductor, tarot reader, and founder of the Traveling Psychic Supper Club. Hey, Deborah, I'm so excited to have you on the show. How are you?
I'm doing awesome. How are you doing?
I'm so good. I've been such a fan of everything that you have going on. I know I started stalking you on Instagram a little while ago, and I was so excited when you followed me back and we started kind of having a dialogue that started around tarot, but then I learned that you work with a lot of other healing modalities. So when did you first discover kind of, I guess, your clairvoyant and intuitive powers, and how did that bring tarot into your life?
Oh man. So, always had it, thought other people had it, didn't, but also realized that nobody really talked about it. So I kind of got the vibe that this is just either A, something that's understood, or B, I grew up Catholic. So, you know, very drawn to like the mysticism of saints and, just the peacefulness of church when no one was in it and there was no one on the altar talking, you know. And I grew up, the church I grew up in had these gorgeous stained glass windows that were from the floor to the ceiling. And I felt at home there. And so that's really, I feel like the peacefulness of being in church is really what, where I just felt the most connected. But I also had all kinds of other crazy things happening. I grew up not in my home, but my aunt's home had some just very bizarre energies attached to it that I later found out when I talked to my sister when we were really more like adults, that she saw some of the same stuff that I did. But like, you know, we just never talked about that stuff.
Oh,
so
wow.
there was a also kind of a way of feeling like a loneliness or disconnectedness because of that, that was always kind of an underlying thing that I still do have today, around this. You asked me also about tarot and how
that kind of connected you into that.
I had to think about that for a second. A woman that came to one of my dinners ended up being an amazing, we still have a friendship today and more of a connection than just a friendship. But she, her name is Susan Hansen, and she wrote three different books on tarot starting when she was very, very young. She was always drawn to tarot. And I had never really been drawn to tarot, especially, you know, with that kind of Catholicism background of like, you don't mess with things, that, you know, that kind of vibe. And then I met Susan and I was just like, oh my God, like, if you know about tarot and you're willing to teach me about it, there can be nothing wrong with this. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
She just had such an amazing spirit and like gentle way of being. So she taught me tarot, and she actually gifted me the deck that I use, which is the New Paladini deck. And she wrote the companion book that goes with that deck.
Oh,
so it was
amazing.
So amazing to learn from the person that had written the, like literally written the book on the deck that I use.
Oh, that's such an incredible introduction and such a cool connection to it through her specifically.
Yeah, no kidding, right? I mean, it was, and I'm still just like, we do trades a lot, and her style of reading is so different than mine, but it's always, and we've done readings together for people, so it's always an adventure with her. I adore her. I love her.
I think that's so cool. I think that, yeah, because we had talked about that previously, about how you would kind of do readings by different practitioners all at once. And I think that's such an interesting way to see all the, you know, how all of those modalities play out and the interpretations and how they, you know, may all be coming from different places, but still are definitely all applicable and all accurate.
Oh, totally. Yeah, I love doing more than one practitioner reading. And I have to also say that there was another woman involved when we did that, which was called Sifecta, and her name was Lacey. And she used a pendulum, and she was amazing with that. And I was always so intrigued that she could get so much information from a pendulum. But, I mean, it really, the practitioner, when they use their tool, and they're using the right tool for that time, amazing things happen. I mean, which, you know, you know that, right?
Oh, definitely. That's like, I definitely find with, for me, obviously my connection is to tarot specifically. And it's just, things come through the cards and the messages that I see, you know, in the connection I have with the cards, but that's kind of, I don't know, my channel or my connection. And I think that's so, I love learning about other people's, you know, especially when they are different than tarot, things like pendulum, things like, you know, I definitely want to hear whether so many things I want to hear about. I want to hear more about the alchemy crystal bowls you got involved in. How did that come through?
Oh my God. So I just, I like to say the word acquired, because to say bought is so wrong. And I came upon them. So I presented this last year at South by Southwest with an amazing group of people, men and women, but I connected specifically with a few of the women with the group. And I was brought in by my friend David, David Savage, who is an empath. And so I heard this woman, Stacey Griffin is her name. She's from Amsterdam, but she played the alchemy crystal bowls. And I've heard crystal bowls before, which they're amazing in their own right. So when people think of crystal bowls, they usually think of the white crystal bowls.
Right, right. That's
but
what I've
alchemy
seen, yeah.
Crystal bowls are a different animal, complete. I hate to even call them an animal, but They have different alchemy attached to them. They are 99.9% whatever the crystal is that they're made of. They're fired in a completely different way, and they just, the sound, I'm not trying to like dog anybody that plays the regular crystal balls, but I heard these and I was like, I have to have like that. That's my next level. That's my next. And it feels so top floor. And so I didn't even know how much they cost or anything like that. It turned out being that Stacy had kind of put this call out to the universe that she was looking for bowls to be able to borrow, because like coming from Amsterdam, like, I don't know that you could even travel with these bowls. That'd be terrifying. And so a woman, Nicole, she's from Arlington, which, you know, outside of Dallas, I'm outside of Austin, you know, South by Southwest, of course, everybody knows is in Austin, Texas. And she drove a set of bowls up for Stacy to play. And I was just like, that's amazing.
That is so cool.
Arlington's like 3.5-4 hours from here, Austin. And so I connected with her. And I was actually able to go. She's got an amazing studio in her home. And I was able to go pick my set of bowls. And like, I feel like crying almost when I talk about it, because that was such an amazing experience. And it was so personal. It's similar to like Susan giving me my set of tarot cards. You know, it's just.
Yeah, and the connection that you have to that is so intimate. That's so incredible.
You just, the right people show up when you're ready for whatever the thing is, you know? And yeah, so that's how I got into playing the alchemy crystal balls.
That's amazing. Wow. So in addition, so at your traveling psychic supper club dinners, do you, is that, can you tell us a little bit how one of those event goes? Like which of these modalities, if all of them, do you use? Like how, if we were to attend one, what does that look like?
So I'll give you just a teeny bit of background and then I'll tell you like present day. I started the dinners because I was doing readings for people who were connected by their information. And a lot of times when I do, say I do 6 readings in a couple of weeks, right? The people that come for those readings, a lot of times they'll have the same issues. They won't know each other. And anyway, the only way they're connected is by me, that they've come to me for a reading. And so I started seeing that these people were connected. And I was like, you know what? They should just meet each other. Like, that's the most obvious thing.
Yeah.
And then I was like, so if they are connected by their information, maybe they're meant to work through their information or their struggle or their, you know, whatever it is. And so I just started having dinners and I invited people that I had read. That's how I started. And then I just put a very simple 2-line description, you know, traveling psychic supper club dinner, you know, all are welcome, in the Chronicle, which is just like our weekly, you know, little rag that goes out. And people showed up, people started showing up, and it's, you know, it's part. And then people were like, well, I'm not psychic, I can't go. And I'm like, first of all, stop saying that, because everybody's psychic. But second, people were like, well, is it only for psychics? So people kind of were like, I don't get what this is. So it's open to everybody. If you are interested in psychic phenomenon, have a story that you're like, this happened to me, I don't know what it is. If you are interested in developing or connecting with a group of people that are developing, that's who these dinners are for. And so every dinner is different. The traveling part was, and is, we would go to different local restaurants. We only would support local, because I'm very much about that. And we just go to different restaurants all over Austin to kind of be able to hit different parts of town and different, you know, supporting different local. And it's just like everybody showed up and whatever happened super organically. And then that was kind of more discussion based. Then I started doing them as events where people could, you know, have me come and do a private dinner with them in a restaurant or a home. Those can be a little bit more, people can ask me questions. It's a little bit more like part reading, part discussion. The vibe of it is just a little bit different. So that's what they're about.
That's incredible. Yeah, that's definitely the first thing I was drawn to when I kind of found you on Instagram, and I was thinking, God, I wish they had that. And I know you're adding more and more cities, and I kept thinking, I wish they had that in New York, because I'm based in Manhattan, and that's something that I would, you know, love to even just attend or be a part of. And so I'm excited that that's expanding, and I definitely am excited to come to one very soon, whether it's in Texas or if you, you know, make your way up to the Northeast. I'm excited to come to one very soon.
Yeah, and you know that's totally going to happen.
Yeah.
I mean, like, we've already put the intention out that that's going to happen. And so you're right. I've expanded. So now I'm Austin, Dallas, Houston. But, you know, a lot of people, because, you know, Instagram, like, is a thing, right? And so people keep, I love it because we've all connected and are being more connected. And so I do want to say that I do phone readings. And I do face-to-face readings if I'm in your town. So, yeah, and I am expanding. Like, my dream has always been to have a camper. And I have a friend that's working on, because, you know, I'm starting my own podcast, or, like, restarting it, I guess, because it was a radio show before. But, you know, and she's like, no, we have to have an RV. And I'm like, oh, my God, like, camper, a little cheaper than an RV, but maybe. I mean,
I love either. I think just either. It's the perfect, like, updated, modern day gypsy. Like, I think it's so cool, so on brand. And just I love the idea of this. Yes.
Well, I had over, God, I guess maybe it was 2012, our next door neighbors for Thanksgiving, they had some friends come in, and they had one of those big ones, like the big, really nice, like, coach bus, like, ridiculous. And I walked out onto my porch, and I literally saw it wrapped with Traveling Psychic Supper Club. And so I was like, and I got,
yes,
okay, so when,
yes,
I say something that's true, I get a chill, like a tingle from my knee down to my ankle, and I just got that. I was,
yes,
like, that's my future.
Oh, my God, I can
and
see
so
that. Yes.
I'm always working towards it. So, yeah.
Amazing. Amazing. So, one of the things I love, you know, in getting to know you, in addition to all of, you know, the intuitive, clairvoyant, and tarot work, is that you actually also work passionately with substance use disorder. And within that work, you've kind of introduced some of your intuitive healing into that. Can you tell us how that came about and how that was received? Because that's something that I think myself and a lot of my listeners are interested in, is kind of the intuitive work as a form of therapy, and that it's not necessarily mutually exclusive, that it can be merged. And I think you're doing a really awesome job of introducing that.
Thank you. That's an amazing compliment. Thank you. It's, you know, and this is kind of for anybody that feels drawn to interweaving intuition in any business, because they cannot be separate. I worked really hard, and this is, I mean, I look back and I'm like, oh my God, that was so stupid. I worked really hard not for people not to know that I did intuitive work. You know, like, I was really very, not like, kind of embarrassed. Like, oh, well, and I'm in conservative, like, you know, Austin is like its own little weird island in the middle of conservative Texas. But, you know, I went, when I was first wanting to do the dinners, I went to a little coffee shop, and I said, you know, I've got a group that I, you know, I would like to have meet here. And the woman was really happy, you know, and she goes, well, what's your group about? And I said, well, we discuss, like, psychic phenomenon, and her face totally changed. And she was like, yeah, we're not interested in hosting a group like that here. So, you know, we've kind of gotten, it's hard when you're, there's constantly a fear of being judged. And, you know, we've got, you know, it happens where it's like, well, we're all Christians around here, honey. And I'm like, well, that doesn't matter. I mean, then you should be just as knowledgeable, if not more, to the mystic, you know, and like, oh,
and,
my God,
and just open to any
really?
Form of healing. I
it's
think.
So, I
yeah.
mean, and I'm not going to start getting on a soapbox about that, but it's open to everybody, and it has nothing to do with what your religion is or your belief system. This
Absolutely,
is like the
yeah.
truest form of, like, soul, our soul. And so I kind of can do this sometimes where I'll forget the question, but I think that what you were saying was like,
no,
how
totally.
Do people integrate? You just don't hide who you are. And when I did finally step out and say, and you asked me about substance use disorder too, I went to a training just 2 days ago, and I was writing with a girl that I don't know at all. And she was asking me what else I did. And I rattled off all these things I do. And then I said, yeah, and I also, I'm an intuitive. I do psychic readings. And, you know, that pop is so open to this because when you've been through something yourself and you've walked through the fire and you've walked, you know, traveled on like the dark side of your experience and had something terrible happen, it's like people are more open. And so it's such a perfect fit for me to be working with people in recovery and like long-term recovery. And I do work with like around, you know, the opiate crisis is like a thing. So that's kind of, I specialize with that too. And my people are not Pollyanna life. It's the ones that have actually been through something. And I find that those people are so ready to reach a hand out to somebody else. I mean, pure work is where it's at.
Well, yeah, and I love that you're kind of merging that into what was more of a traditional model, because I myself, and I've been very open about this, have struggled with, you know, substance abuse in my past, and tarot was very healing for me. And I had gone through everything from, you know, traditional psychoanalysis, EMDR, cognitive behavioral therapy. And then I did some very, you know, less traditional Reiki healing, hypnosis, plant medicine with ayahuasca. And for me, some of the less traditional pathways were the most effective. And I just think that like you're saying, you know, being open to anything that is of healing. And I love that you have access to so many different healing abilities and that you're kind of bringing that into, you know, into people's lives that may not have had access to, but are definitely open to that. I think that's beautiful. And I think that kind of more of that transparency, it needs to exist, because what may work for one person is not necessarily like the end all be all for everyone with that, you know, with a similar problem.
Oh yeah. And well, and even with similar, with the same substances.
Yeah, exactly.
Like you can't look at somebody that is, you know, utilizing methamphetamine for a coping mechanism and then look at somebody else that's doing the same. They're having completely different experiences. And now that the drug does draw a certain type of person, but it's not, no two people are the same and no two brains are the same. And so they're not processing, they're physically not processing the substance the same way. And they're physically not processing it in their brain the same way. And so, you know, it's even within, you know, when I work with groups, I always have them tell me what their drug choice is because I want to know who I'm working with. And, you know, what they got busted with, not always, is the same thing that they're using. And one of the things too is, you know, some people that end up with me, they weren't using, or they were using and they're not anymore, or they were dealing, or they were, they had been using, they've stopped for a long time and they don't really feel like they need to be with me. And it's like, okay, you can lay what we're talking about. There's templates, and you can lay, if you're not using anymore, there's definitely something in your life that you can lay this template over that can be adjusted or changed, not fixed. Nobody needs to be fixed and nobody is bad.
Yeah, I love that. I love that in your approach to it as well. I totally agree. And I think that that is beautiful and so necessary to hear, you know.
Judgment is the biggest barrier to healing that I can think of. And so to be able to go into something, even saying, I can't understand it, help me understand. Or, but not like, I don't know why you can't. That's the worst thing you can say to somebody. But saying, you know, I don't understand. So can you help me? And then that gives the person that is using substances the ability to share information that otherwise they feel completely cut off and isolated, where they're not, nobody wants to hear their opinion.
Yeah, definitely. No, I think that, thank you. And I think that like the more that is spoken about that is just so helpful to everyone. Because like you're saying, I think there are a lot of people that feel fearful to speak about it, or when they do are kind of quickly either shut down or guided into one path of this is the right way to go about your healing. And I know I definitely came up against that. And a lot of the traditional methods were just not, you know, not the right path for me. And I really had to go through several to find, like I said, some kind of less traditional, but that were highly healing and impactful. So yeah. I just love that, you know, you're sharing you're sharing this and also giving people exposure. And I think that, that there needs to be more of that. So I'm so grateful for you and the work that you're doing.
Thank you. I can't not do it. That's all I can say. Like, I ended up smack dab in the middle of this population. I mean, like, I've got my own backstory too, you know, and everybody does. So I ended up exactly where I'm supposed to be.
I think that's, yeah, exactly. And I think that that is, I think that all of your gifts work so beautifully together. I think that it's so funny. I think that's the case for many people kind of in our world when you were saying you were like kind of closeted about the intuitive side of your work before. And I even kept like very much my fashion career and, you know, my tarot and like an empath side very separate. And the more that I've able, it's totally the advice you gave, the more that I've been able to just kind of be open and I'm like, this is me. If you think I'm crazy, that's cool. I've been more successful kind of in both sides of my life as a result of that. So
yeah.
Yeah. So I love that.
And that's also a huge important point that you make, which is, you know, everybody isn't for everybody else. I said that once to my mom. I said, you know, I'm not for everybody. And she goes, yeah. You know, like in a way. And I was like, hey, man, but it's true. I mean, I'm not going to connect with everybody. And that's why it's so important. Like, if you feel like your voice, like you could speak to somebody, throw your hat in the ring because, you know, there's somebody that is waiting to hear what you have to say. Right. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. And through that lens or, you know, with that spin on it, I totally agree. I totally agree. I could talk to you forever. Oh my goodness. I know that I will offline, but, I have to, as we're getting towards the end of the half hour, but I have to ask you, the questions that I ask everyone who comes on. If do you have a favorite tarot card? And if so, which one?
So it changes, right? But the card that I love the most in my deck, I think that that's a hard question, but I'm going to say the Wheel of Fortune.
Oh my gosh. That's mine too, actually. I'm not even lying. That's yes. Sorry.
Of course. But I love it because like I'm super connected to animals and it's got and I'm very connected to hawks. And so any card that has a bird on it, I'm all over it. And so but it's got all the animals. It's so symmetrical. Mm-hmm. The deck that I use, it is, but it can change. And like, if you're not in balance, the Wheel of Fortune is not going to be in balance. But I love the idea that you can always spin again.
Yes.
And you can always pick something. So I just got that little tingle again. Like you can always, it's a new day. And even you can have like the crappiest thing happen. And the next day you can wake up and see it in a different way. And that's what I love about the Wheel of Fortune.
Well, that's, it's my favorite card. And I'm not even, it's not like, oh my God, me too. It's that in my deck, as you know, I'm illustrating my own deck, which is all kind of empowered women of pop culture. And the Wheel of Fortune is Madonna. Because to me, what comes up is evolution and reinvention. And mm-hmm. I love what you said about you always have the chance to start again. And I think she's had so many realms of, you know, reinventing herself and going through struggles personally and like just, you know, getting back on the wheel, so to speak, and evolving through it. So that's definitely, it's my favorite card. And I love that that's yours as well. That's crazy.
Yeah, it is. But I also am very drawn, like every year I kind of have a different card that is the card that is relevant. So I will say this year Temperance is also relative to the work that I'm doing, like being able to calm down a little bit. Also relative to the bowls because that's, I can't think of anything else when I'm playing them.
Yeah. I think that, that card is, it's a powerful card. And I think it's funny because it's also like learning that balance and, like, you know, for me, it's often been moderation, whether it's like, you know, workaholism, you know, partying too much, anything too. I'm an extremist. I'm a Sagittarius Aries mm-hmm. rising. So I have a lot of like fire. And I think that Temperance, it's funny because it seems like such a gentle card, but it's definitely a really strong, powerful message. So
It's like, to me, Temperance is, there's a force to be reckoned with behind, not, I don't want to say the mat, but behind the sweet face.
Totally. Yes.
A force.
Yes. Amazing. So do you have, before we go, do you have any projects that are coming up that we can check out in addition to, I know that your website is thetravelingpsychicsupperclub.com and on Instagram @travelingpsychic. And I'll post all of this in the notes for this episode, but do you have anything specific in the near future that we can check out?
Like we've talked about, like relaunching my podcast, which is Traveling Psychic Supper Club. So when that happens, like that will be the name of that. Just really working hard on putting together like just really badass events for people and getting out there more, you know, traveling. That camper / RV is what
I'm so like, psyched about
my
that.
Eye on the
yes.
prize.
Yes.
But so, but like I said, I do phone readings, and then just keep look, check back with Instagram's the best place to find anything out about what's going on. I'll say that the website's great, but I'm always on Instagram.
Okay, cool. I'm going to post both of those in the notes.
And that's how we met.
Yeah, I know. I'm so grateful for that. I really am. So thank you so much, Deborah. I am so excited to talk with you again today, and also just all of the projects that I think we can work together on in the future. So thank you.
I know.
You.
It's kind of stupid. Like, I feel like there's so much stuff that we can do together that I'm stoked.
Oh, my gosh. Thank you. So how incredible is the traveling psychic? Oh my God, I love her. Love that she's going to be rocking out in an RV across the country with the Traveling Psychic Supper Club in the near future. Cannot wait for that to evolve. Also love that her favorite card is Wheel of Fortune. Like everyone who knows me knows that that's my favorite card. Clearly it's Madonna in my deck. And also the Dior purse I was stalking when they launched the Motherpiece Tarot Dior collection. No one got it for me yet. Still putting it out there, peeps. Yep, if you want to get it for me, my birthday is December. Anyway, quickly recapping before we head out. August, as we know, is asking us to work through justice and the Five of Pentacles. And this week's new moon in Leo is telling us to take risks. So it makes sense that we pulled Four of Wands, reminding us to get our inner SJP / Carrie Bradshaw on and set intentions for the foundation of the fab life we want to roll in. Don't forget to check out Cardsy B on Instagram, and also for New Yorkers, check out Psychic Sundays at the Ace Hotel from 5 to 8, as well as Sunday lunches at the Green Pear Cafe. Thanks so much, and stay magical AF.